you there?
I am.
Sorry, the button went off. I'm good for right now.
Okay.
Set up? You ready?
I am ready. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. Good morning, Elias. How are you?
As always, and yourself?
I am so well, and I just wanted to say one thing, and that is today I am enough.
Excellent.
That is so powerful.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'd like to start out today with asking some of the statistics on Alan, who has recently been helping with the transcribing team. And his impression is that he's Sumafi, Sumari, soft, and thought.
Correct.
And may I have his essence name?
One moment.
And the numbering of focuses, please.
Numbering of focuses presently 2,444.
Thank you. I read something interesting last night in one of the older sessions, and, well, maybe it was two nights ago, but it had to do with you saying that each essence family will have a wave that is more intense to them. Like the Sumafi, their intense wave was duplicity. And so I was trying to figure out who was probably having the hardest time as far as intensity with the religious wave. And I posted it on Facebook. And my impression is it would be Millie Mae.
To that.
Oh.
You access that.
Okay.
Oh, Michael, or through the transcriptions. In this, you are correct. Every essence family is connected with a wave. And I have already offered all of the information in relation to this present wave.
Okay. I will do that. And then getting back into my difficulties getting the sessions, and I just wanted to run by my impressions. And one was I really had to look for myself and do for myself.
I would express to you congratulations, for you are definitely correct. And I will express to you, recently I responded to a question with another individual with the same information that I will express to you now in relation to that point, which I began to express in our most recent group.
Yes.
In that, the factor that most individuals were not considering, it was not even a matter of forgetting, they merely have not considered, is the factor of my participation in all of this. And that, yes, each of you are creating your reality, and Michael is creating his in relation to shifting and how much most of you have expanded your awareness and have shifted. The reason that I also participated in withdrawing to a degree was to encourage each and every one of you to be not only focusing on yourself, but to be giving yourselves some of your own answers, which is the point. I have expressed from the onset of this forum that the point is that eventually you would all be giving yourselves your answers and would not look to myself for all of those answers. And in that, to assure all of you now that I'm not disengaging from interacting with you, and that I will be as available as I have always been previously, but that in part the dynamic is changing, and that I will be engaging of all of you more in the capacity of validating you and encouraging you, and to a degree giving you answers or aiding you in the most beneficial directions for each of you, but that it is also important that you are self-empowered and being self-directing. And individuals have, for many years now, been engaging myself in a capacity that they've become complacent. Mm-hmm. It is easier to engage myself and merely ask questions than for them to evaluate themselves and discover their own answers. But it is also less effective when you are moving in a direction of actually directing yourself and discovering your own answers. Then when you engage myself in questioning, you will actually listen and apply what I am expressing. And it has moved to a point in which it was very obvious in this previous year that many, 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 many individuals were engaging myself, asking questions, and not listening, and not applying the answers, but merely asking the questions. And that defeats the point. The point of my engagement with all of you is to help you move forward, to help you avoid trauma, to help you be self-empowered and to be self-reliant and to be primarily important. And in that, if individuals are merely asking questions but not actually assimilating the answers and applying the answers, then they're moving in opposition to the point. And my agenda has always been to be offering aid to avoid trauma, not to merely be engaging conversation with individuals and for trauma to be ensuing anyway. Therefore, I would express a tremendous acknowledgement of you and a congratulations in your realization of that and your movement in a direction to be self-directing, to genuinely be listening, and to genuinely be moving in a direction of empowering yourself. Well done.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the giveaways for that is the morning, I think it was back in July, when my session was supposed to happen, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got this somewhat lucid dream to where it was one of those, I was trying to dial Mary on the phone, but the phone wouldn't go through. My phone kept malfunctioning type thing. So I yelled to Val, 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 give me your phone. I've got to call Mary. I got a session. And she brings me 3 flashlights instead. Like, you know, I know it's like, seek for yourself. And that's exactly what I did. I mean, I went deep. I withdrew, and I just went deep. And I'm also, my impression, too, is with this religious wave, I didn't realize how many issues I still had with control, how deep that is about my trying to control things and how I think other people control me. And I'm still dealing with issues of duplicity. And that has finally come to the forefront. I mean, this just recently.
That is definitely a part of the point, Travis, in that when you move into that position of actually being present and maintaining that, the factor of control is a moot point. It is not important. It is not necessary. If you are continuously aware that you have choices, then the element of control becomes unimportant. You do not have to control. You can be directing, which is different.
Oh, it's life-changing.
And that is the
point.
That is the point.
Okay, well, let me ask you. On July 20th, I ended up with a rescue squad and in the emergency room. And I just like to give you what my impressions are. And basically, I think I just threw a massive energy ball at myself. And I remember a session where you told someone that the body consciousness can only take so much until it just shuts down. And is that what I did? So it was like a major panic attack type thing. Okay.
Consciousness becomes overwhelmed because you are holding so much energy and you continue to build on that and build on that and hold more and more and more. Eventually, you are correct. It stops and it is overwhelmed, and what will occur is the body will generate some action to release energy, if not all of it, a significant amount of it. when it does that, it does it with force.
Whoa, yes.
And when it does that with force, it will generate some expression that will likely be considerably uncomfortable. Some individuals express that in anxiety in the manner of a panic attack. Some individuals vomit. Some individuals will generate an expression of incorporating diarrhea. Some individuals will hyperventilate. There are many different manners in which the body will force the release of energy because it cannot hold anymore.
My question is, because I've been reading about the difference of what happens to your objective and subjective of when you're in a coma, versus an astral projection. What happened here? Was I disengaging my objective awareness, or was it my subjective doing something? What's happening physically? Because it was...
awareness, in a manner of speaking, shuts down and allows the subjective to become primary. And in that, remember, the objective awareness expresses imagery and is abstract. Your subjective awareness is not abstract. It is more, in a manner of speaking, literal, and merely addresses to a subject in relation to you and your position and your awareness and your personality. Now, in that, when the subjective awareness is moved into the primary position, the first direction that the subjective awareness addresses to is the body. For your subjective awareness, for the most part, is what instructs the body consciousness. It is moving in conjunction with your objective, but it is the main source of direction with the body consciousness. Therefore, its first order of business, so to speak, is to address to the body consciousness, first relieve as much energy and pressure as possible, then to move in the direction of maintaining body function. And it will do that first and primarily before addressing to whatever the expression or the issue is that created that situation. The most immediate is addressing to the body consciousness. Remember, your body consciousness intrinsically incorporates a function in physical focus to survive. Therefore, that becomes its number one priority. And however it must move to alleviate pressure and project out or release energy to maintain function, it will do.
Okay. Thank you.
There in extreme situations, an individual can even generate a catatonic state. In that, now this is not always the situation, but it is the most common situation. There are exceptions, but in general, when an individual generates a catatonic state, that is what they are doing. The subject of awareness moves into the primary position, and its first priority is the body consciousness and the maintenance of it. And therefore, removing anything that was creating this tremendous build of energy, stopping the continuation of that. Therefore, if an individual has been consistently moving in a direction of fear or confusion, and has been building and building and building that holding of energy to an overwhelming degree, dependent on the individual, they can actually move in the direction in which a subject of awareness will move into that primary position, turn off the objective awareness and focus on maintenance of existence.
Interesting. I think in one of our previous sessions, we were talking about myself doing that, where I would wake up and couldn't move. And you were telling me about the fear issues and how to address that, et cetera. So is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Whew, those aren't fun.
I would agree.
Yeah. So
this is definitely an extreme that individuals move in, but it is also an extreme that can happen, that an individual can move themselves into a catatonic state, and dependent upon how severe the issues were, that state can remain for considerable time frameworks.
Well, getting to my specific issues, is the fear still over control? Is that's what I'm coming with?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. And my other question then would be, at night, I still have issues at night, and I've been trying to implement some of the things you've told other people, and when I go to bed, I physically tell my body consciousness, you are safe. You are safe.
Excellent. Now, understand with that exercise, you are incorporating years and years and years of experience of feeling unsafe. Most likely, your entire lifetime to this point.
Yes.
Therefore, it is a situation in which your body and your objective awareness are very accustomed to that feeling. It almost becomes natural for your that truth, but dependent upon the degree of how unsafe you feel and how long you have been generating that, it may require a time framework. And when I say that, with this particular exercise, it may require 6 months, and with some individuals, it may even require longer than 6 months. Generally, you will begin to move in that direction of accepting that and believing it within a time span of a year, therefore in less than a year. But it may require engaging that exercise every day for 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. It is very possible. And the reason is that all of the factors and the subjects that led you in the direction of feeling not safe continue to exist. They have not disappeared. Therefore, you are continuing to engage them in your waking state. And that creates this battle in which you are expressing, I am safe, I am safe, I am safe. But your body and your object of awareness does not entirely believe that yet. But let me remind you, as I have with other individuals, when you are young, it requires time and repeated expression before you actually believe the negative and what creates the lack of safety. Therefore, that does not occur immediately either. You build and develop that through experience. And in this, it is much less time to reverse it. But it does require some time.
Thank you. Along those lines, I am going to ask you, what are some other measures I can do? Because I will still wake up feeling myself go into one of those attacks. And I find when I run outside into the cold air, that relieves it. Almost, that's like the only thing that will relieve it. So,
I would express that that is creative of you and intuitive of you also to discover that method. For what is happening is when you do that action, you are engaging a physical action to shock your body into paying attention. You are not only thinking. That is the difficulty with most individuals in relation to any of these exercises or methods in relation to breaking a cycle, is that it is not successful to only think. Thinking does not create your reality. And it does not change it. Thinking only translates. Therefore, Adam, if you are awakening in individuals is that they say the words, I am safe. And for some individuals, to look around them, especially if you incorporate animal companions, that is a tremendous benefit and very much can aid you in this exercise. But any individual that incorporates animal companions, when you awaken at night and you express, I am safe, not merely think it, you can once again look around the room, focus your attention on one of your animal companions. It matters not what type of animal it is, whether it is a cat, whether it is a dog, whether it is a bird, whether it is a hedgehog.
Thank you.
And they are very good at it.
Yes, and I've heard you give this advice before, and it's been very helpful. When I feel myself panic or I think I hear something, I'll look over to my cats to see what they're doing. And almost all the time, they're quite comfortable. But I do have this, I have an 18-year-old cat, which I just attribute it to senility, that'll occasionally do that meowing around the house. And then I have a 5-year-old cat that does it quite often. Is it energies that they're, but I'm not frightened by it. And so it's just, when I live in an old house anyway, so I know there's tons of energy deposits, and you've even told me where I'm sleeping there's an energy deposit from a man from the 1820s. But I'm not, but is that what they're doing? Just telling me, okay. Wow.
They actually visually see it.
Wow.
They see form. They see configuration. And that, it is not merely that they are seeing energy, so to speak. No, they actually see form. And in that, they are always responsive to it. Therefore, when your cat is generating noise and, in your terms, talking a lot, they are actually interacting with what they see. I would express to you, cats and birds actually use their visual sense more. Therefore, Adam, they actually watch and see forms of whatever energy is present. Dogs can see the forms, but they are less attentive to the form of the energy. And let me express to you, they not only sense and feel the energy, but they use their sense of smell with
wow.
the energy also.
Wow.
Cats are less likely, in similar capacity to birds, to be sensitive to smells of energy. They are much more focused in the visual capacity of it. But canines are much more likely to be connecting with the scent of the energy, and energy does express a smell in physical focus.
Wow. Wow. Well, this, the younger cat, what is she interacting with? Is this an essence that's trying to interact with me, or is this just an energy deposit or an essence that's with this old house?
What I would express is it is dependent upon the time. At times, she is interacting with energy deposits. At times, she is actually interacting with other essences. And in that, are the other essences necessarily connected to the house? Not always. It is dependent upon also what you are doing. Remember, I've expressed previously the idea of guardian angels did not merely appear for no reason. You all incorporate essences around you likely that the cat is interacting with an energy, either an energy deposit or some other essence that is moving through in a manner of speaking. But in most situations, it would be essences that are connected with you.
Okay. And may I ask, is there any particular essences that tend to be around me when I'm in this time of, you know, I guess when I'm asking for help?
Yes. And what would your impression be?
Well, I know you're always there.
Correct. And they are responsive to myself.
And so is there another? Well, I know I have a deep connection with Atticus. But is there another?
I would express at times Tompkin and at times Patel. And you will notice the difference in the action with the animal. My energy, animals generally respond to my energy in a capacity of calm. Therefore, they may watch it, but they are likely to not be as vocal. And in that, they are likely to be more subdued. Most animals, with the exception of birds, are usually more quiet in relation to my energy. Many of them sleep. In relation to Tompkins' energy, that generates more of a fascination, therefore holds their attention. It is more of a curious energy. In relation to Atticus, that depends. It fluctuates. It can be agitated at times. It can be playful at times. And when I express agitated, I'm not expressing anxious, but restless. I would express that Patel's energy can influence noisiness. Therefore, a dog or a cat or a bird would be more likely to be more chattery.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to Patel's energy, they would much more likely be more vocal. And as I expressed, with the exception of birds in relation to my energy, for generally speaking, birds do incorporate a tendency to respond in singing. Therefore, they can be more vocal in relation to my energy. But generally, most other animals become more subdued and more quiet. But in this, you can observe with different energies, different types of responses.
And I am very aware of the different responses, so I'm just finding this fascinating. So when my older cat just does the spontaneous, what I call scooter kitties, through the house, that is most likely Atticus or Patel. Wow. The other thing I just wanted to add, in case this helps anybody out there with the night anxieties, and I just have done this for the past two nights, I've started sleeping under multiple layers of covers because I understand where Aspergers and type people, they seem to do well with weight on top of them. And when I layered on the blankets at night, I don't know if my body consciousness feels safer, but it's a much, much better sleep. So that's another thing I'm doing physically to address to this.
That can also be a helpful action. Not merely the weight, although that can be a factor, but also that element of confinement, that some individuals do feel safer if they are generating that confinement around them, and in that generating an association that they are not exposed. Now, I would also express that some individuals move in the opposite direction and feel less safe if they are confined, that generates an association for some individuals that they have no escape route.
Okay.
Therefore, it would depend upon the individual and their natural expression and what they feel safe in, which is the reason it is important for each individual to define what is safe for you,
mm-hmm.
and how can you translate that in different capacities throughout your day or at night to allow you to be more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I wanted to ask, is there a particular essential oil that may help me with the sleep? I've been experimenting with different ones, including lavender, and I still haven't really found one that I think has an effect. Am I overlooking one that may help?
Have you incorporated eucalyptus?
No, I haven't done that. I always associated that with a stimulant, so for me...
I would express that eucalyptus does actually generate a very calming effect, but in moderation.
Okay.
And move in the opposite direction if it is overwhelming. Therefore, if the scent is strong,
mm-hmm.
then it can move in the direction of being stimulated. I would express that if you are incorporating eucalyptus in very light capacities, then it actually can generate a very calming effect.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I'd like to ask a fun question now. Somebody mentioned on the Facebook forum a while back that they started to become attracted to the color teal, and so have I. And what is that objective imagery of with this color? In fact, I just dyed my hair teal. I'm like, why am I doing this? I just view it as kind of a fun color. I think it's, for me, it's kind of lightening up.
I would agree. And in that, what other impressions do you have?
I don't know, other than it just makes me happy to see the color.
Excellent. I would express that this particular color incorporates a very flowing vibration.
Oh, it's so interesting you say that, because I was going to save this for my next session, but I'll just mention it now, because one of the things in my life, I just keep going warp speed, both physically and mentally, you know, think. And you told me a couple of sessions ago that what I was doing right now is finding balance in my life, because I'm kind of the opposite of what I used to be. I live in a little house out in the woods and not a lot of activity. And then it dawned on me that when I look at my essence color and my focus color, they're both very slow vibrating colors. And so it makes me think that all along I've been missing how I should be moving. I mean, am I? Yeah. Like red and orange, and it's like slow down. And it's just, I've never experienced that. So now the teal coming in, interesting.
It's a flowing color.
Interesting. And I'd like, we got just a few minutes. This, I hope it's, you know, I don't want to sound frivolous in this, but there's so much imagery with it. I'd like you to help me with it. I bought an old Jaguar that I just dearly love a couple of years ago, kind of to soothe me during a really low point in my life. I didn't pay a lot of money for it. And it ran for about 2 years, and now it kind of broke down, and it's just sitting in my driveway. And I keep thinking, you know, I'd love to restore it completely because I just love it. But then I look at it and go, you know, the world's changing, and it probably doesn't need these big cars anymore. But then I'll have dream imagery to where I'm driving it, and it's completely restored. And I don't know whether just to go ahead and sell it and junk it and realize, hey, you know what, maybe I can even buy a new one. You know, don't just keep thinking that you're stuck with an old one that could break down. Then this is the best that you could ever have.
I agree. And I would express to you that you are giving yourself imagery of change. And in that imagery of change, that not everything that is old loses all of its value in relation to you. That it may continue to be valuable to you or important to you, and to interpret the essence of that and change it into what fits with you now. Therefore, not being black and white, and also not necessarily discarding everything that is old and familiar, but reconfiguring that. Now, in that is not necessarily to say take the old car and reconfigure it and redo it and move in that direction. It may be that particular object is not necessarily efficient for you now, but that the idea of what it is and the it is remains important to you, and even the identification of the subject itself, being the vehicle itself, may be important to you still. And in that, it would be a matter of generating a configuration of that that is more consistent with the direction you are in now. Therefore, it could be generating a new one, or it could be generating something similar, or it could be using that old vehicle for something else.
I don't
necessarily as a vehicle. So it's a matter of evaluating yourself. You obviously continue to hold importance with this, for you are giving yourself imagery and communications about it. In that, it's a matter of acknowledging that importance and allowing yourself to be open to what you present to yourself in imagination of how to proceed in relation to that subject.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes I look at it and I'm like, you know what, I really don't like it because there's other styles that I'm finding I like even better. So it was just, it's just this letting go and you know, I just, thank you.
Ever not to be black and white.
Yeah. Okay.
With anything.
Yep. Elias, this has just been a tremendous session, and I'm going to share this because others may be fascinated by some of this information and may find it beneficial. So thank you.
You are very welcome, my friend, and I shall greatly be anticipating our next meeting. I express tremendous congratulations to you, wondrous encouragement in what you are doing and what direction you are engaging, and excellent supportiveness that I will continue to express with you.
Thank you.
Wondrous lovingness to you, my dear friend. As always, au revoir.
Au revoir. Mary.